Shalom Rabbi Yoel Perlin, how are you?
How are you, Ilan?
I am good, thank you.
That's good, everything's good. We're going down, you know, to try and figure out. Tu Bishvat is supposed to be a nice time, you know, the trees are supposed to be out blossoming and everything, but we're still in freezing cold weather.
Yeah. So, I think it would take some more time.
Yeah, I think even over the weekend it would be really, really cold.
Oh, really? Okay.
So they say. But, look, what we're going to do. But anyway, this parasha is Parashat Yisro, where we talk about how God was going to give us the Ten Commandments. And at this period of time, the Jews are out of Egypt. And the Jews, the children of Israel, they're camping now opposite Mount Sinai, where they are told that God has chosen them to be His kingdom of priests, the holy nation. And obviously the people, the Jewish people, responded by proclaiming, "Now, seven Ishma, all that God has spoken, we shall do. We don't need any reasoning, but the fact that He's spoken, that's what we're going to do." And then obviously, on the sixth day of Sivan, which is the third month, God comes down and summons Moses up to the mountain. And, you know, there's the lightning and the smoke and the shofar, and God proclaims the Ten Commandments, that commanding the people of Israel to believe in God, you know, not to worship idols, not to say God's name in vain, to keep Shabbat, honor the parents, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So the thing about it, a little over 3,000 years ago, you know, the thunder, there was big thunder, the mountain was smoking, the sound of the big shofar, and we were ready to receive the Torah. And according to the Talmud says that God says that whoever busies himself with the Torah and with charity and prays with his congregation, continues God to say, "I consider it for him as if he had redeemed me and my sons amongst the nations of the world." That's what is brought down in the Talmud, in the Gemara. And the question is really, if you think about it, why is such an outstanding expression, you know, of merit and virtue accorded to someone who busies himself with Torah? What does that mean? Because if you think about it, isn't Torah study the plain duty of every single Jew?
Yeah.
Every Jew has to do it, but God's making some special emphasis that someone who busies himself with Torah, then, you know, he's redeemed me. Isn't this what each of us has accepted and pledged to do at Mount Sinai? We all said and agreed to God that we were going to accept God's Torah. So obviously we're going to busy ourselves with doing with what we accepted. What is so unique and interesting what the Talmud is telling us, which I find fascinating, is that the secret really lies in the word of busies himself. What does that mean? That the Torah study is indeed the duty of every single person, obviously, but there is a special merit reserved for one whose preoccupation with Torah learning and charity and prayer is like that of a businessman with his business.
Hmm.
What do I mean? That, you know, if you go and look, any worker, a hired worker, always keeps an eye on the clock. When the hour of his employment is over, he leaves, and the worries of the business behind him, he doesn't care about it, he goes home until his next shift.
9 to 5.
Correct. 9 to 5, at 5 o'clock or 5:01, he's out the door already. He doesn't care what happens to the business as long as he'll be back here tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. However, it's not so for the businessman. That even while he sits at, you know, his dinner table with his family, and you think that he's eating and drinking like everyone else, but if you really look carefully at, you know, at his facial expressions, at his eyes, we see that it reveals that the affairs of his business are very, very much on his mind. And like the regular person that is working, you know, business may be doing very, you know, if he's finished his day,
yeah,
business may be doing very well. There's always room in his mind for improvement. Even when he goes to sleep, he thinks of how he's going to be able to make the next day, make the next business day a lot better place. So he's constantly devoted, constantly, his whole mind is constantly thinking, and his business is part of his everyday life. And what do we say that it says in the Talmud? That whoever busies himself with the Torah with charity, the morning Torah study session may be over, but the Torah is his business. And he cannot, no person, no Jewish person can completely leave the Torah behind. He may seem, you know, to be eating, drinking, but his mind is so absorbed in the passage of the Torah and what he studied. He may already have fulfilled, you know, his obligation of charity by donating to a cause, whatever he likes, you know, at least giving at least of his tenth of his income. But charity is his business. He makes that his business. He's constantly looking for someone in need of a favor, in need of financial assistance, so that he can help him. So with these thoughts is what he goes to sleep, and with these thoughts is what he has dreams. So when a person becomes a Torah businessman, then God considers him as he has, you know, merited, as though as he has redeemed the Shekhinah, redeemed godliness.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's not saying, okay, well, I have godliness, and what happens is that I'm involved in my Torah. I'm involved in my study. I go to classes every day. I go to do whatever I need to do. But when I finish doing that hour of learning Torah, then that's it. You know, it says that a person has to divide up his day in different categories, that he should also be able to find time to be able to learn.
Yeah.
So at least be able to learn some sort of Torah, whether it be 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But even those 10, 15 minutes, even though he's not learning 3, 4 hours a day, but those 10, 15 minutes carry on with him throughout his whole business day, throughout his whole, how he lives his life, how he runs his business, that he's not cheating, that he's not, you know, taking away from someone else. That is a Torah businessman. And that is what is meant in the Talmud when it says that he who busies himself in Torah, not that I just learned for 10 minutes, but my whole constant day is busying myself as though I'm busying myself in business, I'm also busying myself in Torah. And that is one of the fundamental parts of the Torah. You know, you find that the first, you know, you have the Ten Commandments that are written, that were given to us. And you have the first five are how we have to relate between us and God. And the next five is how we're supposed to relate between us
and
man.
Yeah.
Correct. So God knew that, okay, for you to react between me and him, between me and God, is a great thing. But God is like, don't only act the way that you're going to act between me and God. Act also the way you're supposed to act between you and another human being. Act like a Torah businessman. Act like a Torah Jew. That when someone needs a favor, someone needs help, even though I might not be rewarded for it, I might not be acknowledged for it, I might not get a sign up, but the fact that I'm living my life like that, that anyone that comes to me, anything that is needed, that's what I have to do. And that's what this Torah portion teaches us in regards with, you know, receiving the Ten Commandments from God and how we're supposed to internalize them as our daily, day-to-day life.
Yeah, yeah. And Rabbi, Tu Bishvat is here soon.
Yes, Tu Bishvat is today. As we're talking, Tu Bishvat is today. And you know, Tu B'Shvat is the 15th day of Shvat, which is obviously on the Jewish calendar,
yeah,
is celebrated. It marks the beginning of a new year for trees. This is the season in which the earliest blooming trees in the land of Israel, you know, emerge, you know, come out from their winter sleep and begin new fruit bearing cycles. Remembering we're going according to the cycle of Israel. And legally, the new year for trees, you know, relates to the period of time when it all started off was in the Torah, relates to the various types that are separated from produce, that a farmer has to leave a specific one, you know, this one for poor people, this one for the Kohen,
yeah,
the high priest, this one for the Levite, in things that were grown in the Holy Land. And the point at which a budding fruit is considered to belong to the next year of the cycle is considered on the 15th day of Shvat. And we mark the day of Tu B'Shvat, you know, by eating fruits. Particularly, we try and get at least the fruit that the Torah praises, the land of Israel, for example, grapes and figs and pomegranates and olives and dates. So we try to be able to eat these certain types of fruit if we're able to get it on the day of Tu B'Shvat. And on this day, we also remember that it's brought down in Devarim and Deuteronomy that a man is a tree of the field. And yeah, we have to be able to reflect on the lessons that we can learn from our botanical analogs, from a tree. There's so many lessons that we can take to our life you know, they say that the way that you nurture the tree, the way that you give the tree, you know, its water, and you seclude it when it's very cold,
yeah,
and you plant the right seed, that's how the tree is going to grow. And that's the exact same thing with our kids, for example. If we give them a right education, if the seed that we're planting in our kid is scratched, then our kid doesn't get the greater, it won't come out a full, complete, unscratched tree, as an analogy, really. But we have to be able to give the greatest foundation for our kids, that they should grow up to be a strong tree.
In God's hands.
100%. And if you think about it, when's the last time we wished, you know, a tree happy new year, happy birthday?
Yeah.
And that's the time we did. That's the great opportunity that we have on the 15th day of Shvat. That's why people grow, people go and on this day and go and grow trees. You know, go and bring trees to the world to be able to help us.
Yeah, and you know, now it's like a present in Israel and even here in the diaspora. People, as a present or as a memory, donate trees to Israel, to the JNF.
Correct, 100%. And it's an important thing.
And you even know, if you plant it here in Canada, it's great. Like, trees
right,
are good.
It's also a good thing. Understand?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you can plant the tree, you you give a donation to someone that you know that could plant the tree.
Yeah.
And you know, us as humans, we can also celebrate along with the trees, because the Torah said, like we said before, that man is the tree of the field.
Yeah. Adam eto sadeh.
Correct. And we are nurtured, you know, by the deep roots. We go as far back as Abraham and Sarah, and we constantly are reaching upwards to heaven while standing firmly on the ground. And we produce fruits, the benefits of the world, which are namely, if you think about it, our good deeds. If we are standing up strong, standing like a tree, doing what we need to do, then we're able to give over, and we're able to produce fruits, which are our good deeds, our kids, our friends. So that's one of the things of Tu B'Shvat, is not only wishing the trees a happy birthday and a happy new year, but it's also reflecting on our own life.
Yeah. Rabbi, thank you. Thanks a lot. It was beautiful.
thank you. And this Friday night Shabbat is coming in at 5:13, and we have services at 6 p.m. If anyone, and everyone's welcome to join.
Okay. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
You too. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.